there are people that think that hell will be this party place where everyone is going to have a good time forever. Many people think that demons are these nice, friendly, angelic beings whose goal is to empower people so they can experience good things in life. The fact is, Satan and demons hate all humans who have been created in the image of God, and their goal is to destroy them. Demons would love to torture and kill people. Demons prompt people to commit suicide. Demons are not people's friends. They're evil. And so no demon can act independently of the sovereignty of God. But this judgment can be authorized and will be authorized by the sovereignty of God in the tribulation. And so what we see here is that we've got the fifth trumpet, and it's a woe judgment in which God sovereignly authorizes this demonic force to attack and inflict people that they may want to kill themselves. So we come to point number one, the fifth trumpet, and it's resulting in this first demonic invasion. And so you'll see that, and it's sad, and it is a bad judgment, one of the worst three of all the tribulation judgments. And by virtue of the fact that we see even back in the eighth chapter of Revelation near the end, it doesn't just say woe once, it cries out woe three times. And so we see it's once again brought into being, inaugurated by an angel. Look at verse 1 with me. And the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to earth, and he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. So it's authorized by one of God's good angels. This must be humiliating to demons who are forced to realize they're actually subject to God's holy angels. Satan and his demons cannot do anything without divine permission of God. And when God permits them to do something, they are subject to his holy angels. We should, as people, not spend our time fearing Satan and demons, but fearing God. God is the one to be feared, because he's the one who controls what the angels do, including Satan and demons. And so this fifth trumpet judgment features this star that has fallen from heaven. And we know from Revelation 1:20 that the seven stars were identified as the seven angels of the seven churches. And this star is given a key to the bottomless pit. And it even goes on, we'll see there's personal pronouns of him and he attached to it, not it. And this star acts in a personal way. You'll see that in verse 2. Look at that. He says, he opened the shaft of the bottomless pit, and from the shaft rose smoke like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened with the smoke from the shaft. And so that is what's going on here. This participle, as we'll keep moving through here, fallen to earth is a perfect tense, meaning he fell at some point in the past and continues to be a fallen angel. So it's very important to see here is that God knows every fallen angel by name, and he uses them for his purposes. And so this demonic angel opens the bottomless pit. The thing that begins this is that the angel is given this key to this bottomless pit. And whatever this high-ranking demon is doing is what he is permitted to do. He can't just open the pit when he wants. This is by divine permission and authorization. This word bottomless is transliterated into the English by the word abyss. The Greek word literally means bottomless or boundless. The noun pit refers to a well. This is an actual prison place for housing several demons who are presently incarcerated there. The Bible speaks of this place as being a place where certain demons exist and live and are confined. We see that in Luke 8, 2 Peter 2, Jude 6. They've been bound in this place since the flood. This is a place that demons hate, and once they are sentenced to this bottomless pit, they cannot get out unless God sovereignly permits that. So obviously at this point in the Great Tribulation, God is going to release the vilest demons who ever existed as part of his wrath judgment. And we see that there's going to be visible cosmic signs. Look at verse 3. It goes on and says, "Then from the smoke came locusts on the earth, and they were given power like the power of scorpions of the earth." So he opens this pit, smoke, like that of a great furnace, literally rises out, and the sun and the air are darkened. The smoke is talked about even in by the Apostle Peter when he predicts what would lead in the second coming of Christ in Acts 2, verse 19. And so the phrase smoke of a great furnace means that this is a hellish place of fire. Notice carefully when this judgment occurs, it does not come from above, but from below. The emphasis here is not on the use of heavenly forces in the tribulation, but on the use of hellish forces. And we also observe that when satanic forces invade, things are darkened and light is lost. Things are not seen clearly when satanic forces are at work. And then we see this fifth trumpet judgment features this demonic invasion of locusts. And so throughout the Old Testament, the locust is used by God in a very destructive way. God used locusts as a plague judgment in Egypt. Locusts could travel in a column of 100 feet deep and up to 4 miles in width. They move into a cultivated area and strip the land bare of all its vegetation. So we learn that from this verse 3 that these locusts have the power of scorpions. And the scorpion is a lobster-type creature of about 4 to 5 inches long. It has a claw on the end of its tail that secretes a poison which gives intense pain. Children can die from a scorpion sting, but most adults do not die. Those who have been stung by a scorpion experience the place of the sting becomes inflamed, the skin hardens, becomes red, intense pain follows, people experience chills, a burning sensation that includes sweating and shivering, and a sensation of being pricked by needles. And these demons appear as demonic scorpions, and there are two facts that are brought out about them. We see that they have specific limitations. Look with me at verses 4 and 5. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any green plant or any tree, but only those people who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were allowed to torment them for 5 months, but not to kill them. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings someone. And so they were limited. They cannot hurt the grass of the earth. They cannot hurt any green vegetation of the earth, and they cannot hurt any tree. Now, the three things named here are the things locusts typically hurt and destroy. But in the tribulation, God will not let these locusts do what they normally would do. And you look back to the first trumpet judgment, already demolished one-third of the trees and vegetation and grass. But this fifth trumpet judgment will feature demons that do unusual and unnatural things. And that is what is going on with these people. We know from, then we see that they can only hurt those who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And we know from Revelation 7:3 and 14 verse 1 that this would include the 144,000 Jews. It also probably would include any believer who happens to be still alive at the point of the tribulation. So we learn in Ephesians 1:13 and 2 Timothy 2:19 that every believer is sealed by God. And we know in the Egyptian plagues that God would not allow those plagues to touch his people. So that's important to grasp here. Satan can only attack his own people in this judgment. He cannot touch the property of God. Satan and his demons are actually attacking people who are on his side. And so Satan's not a friend of sinners. He's their enemy. Satan does not want what is best for people. He's after what is worst for people. He's not loving and kind. He's a hateful liar and murderer. And so we see that they'll only torment people, but they cannot kill people. That word torment has to do with actual torture. And these demons would love nothing more at this point than to start killing people and filling up the fires of hell, but they're not permitted to do so. They're only permitted to torture people. Remember, these demons have come out of the pit of burning hell, and that is where they want all to go. So we come to verse 6 later, and we'll actually, people will want to die. But they can only torment people for a restricted time. Demons are only permitted to hurt people for 5 months or about 150 days. For 5 months of the tribulation, people will live in agony and not be able to escape it. And that's part of the tribulation judgment that's coming. And then we see these demonic locusts have a specific description tied to them. Look at verses 7 through 11. It says this, actually verse 6, and in those days people will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them. And then verse 7, in appearance the locusts were like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were what looked like crowns of gold. Their faces were like human faces, their hair like women's hair, and their teeth like lion's teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the noise of their wings was like the noise of many chariots with horses rushing into battle. They have tails and stings like scorpions, and their power to hurt people for 5 months is in their tails. They have as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek he is called Apollyon. So in verse 7, God gives their appearance. Notice it's says they have appearance like. What this means is that they have a similar resemblance. This demonic army looks similar to locusts, but was not like normal locusts. In fact, the comparative adverb like means they're not exactly locusts, but are like them. It's a description not about locusts, but this demonic army. And we see a description given about this army. They're like horses prepared for battle. They have crowns of gold on their head. They have faces like men. They have hair like women. They have teeth like lions. They have breastplates of iron. They make sounds like chariots. They have sting in their tail. And they have a demonic leader. So all of these steps that are taken in preparation, and they are they have a main leader. In Hebrew, it's an angelic name being Abaddon, and in Greek Apollyon. Both names mean destruction or the one who destroys. So people will have a desire to kill themselves because of the pain that's being inflicted on them by these demons, so this demonic attack. We move from that to the sixth trumpet, and it results in that second demonic invasion. And so this, there'll be a demonic slaughter of people empowered, this military, the magnitude of which has never been seen anywhere in the prior history of the world. And we could go back of all the wars that were inflicted on our world. We have the sixth trumpet, and it's going to be brutal. And we see that in verse 12, as we start the sixth trumpet judgment, that it's another woe trumpet judgment. He says, verse 12, the first woe was past. Behold, two woes are still to follow. So they're ferocious. Usually a woe judgment is a ferocious judgment that God allows. And all woe judgments are deadly by virtue of the fact that this is the tribulation woe judgment number two. It means it's more severe than number one, but not as severe as number three. And so we see in verse 13 that is completely controlled by and authorized by God. Look at verse 13. Then the sixth angel blew his trumpet, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar before God. And so this sixth trumpet judgment features another of God's angels who is at the throne of God. These are sacred judgments being poured out by God, coming directly out of heaven. And this angel sounds its trumpet, and it's coming from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. And we suspect that this voice is a special heavenly angel voice connected to the prayers of the saints tied back to Revelation 8. And we conclude that this is an angel's voice coming from the altar in connection with the fulfillment of those judgment prayers made by God's people. So for the past 2,000 years, God's people have prayed that God would come, get his people, and take care of the whole situation, crying out to God, please take care of the situation. And we see that he uses four specific angels. Look at verses 14 and 15, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour, the day, the month, and the year were released to kill a third of mankind. And so they're bound at the Euphrates River, and they're not free. And by virtue of the fact that they're at the Euphrates River, we know that it's specifically connected to Israel, because this is the northeastern boundary of the promised land that God would give to Israel. The Euphrates River is the longest river in Western Asia, and it's nearly 2,000 miles long. It flowed from the eastern end of the Roman Empire all the way to the Persian Gulf. Unless one sees the importance of Israel and the dimensions of the Promised Land, reading some portions of Scripture won't make any sense. This river is the river the enemies of God will cross just before the final conflict that leads to the millennium. There apparently are bound demonic angels that are geographically located somewhere near the Euphrates, and they will stay bound until this moment in the tribulation. We know from the book of Daniel that there are territorial angels. We see that in Daniel 10. And these angels have been prepared for this judgment at this time. That's the reason for their existence. These demonic angels obviously are not right with God, but they are sovereignly used by God. And they've been prepared. It's a perfect passive participle. It means God is the one who's prepared them and bound them. From some point of time in the past, they continue to be in that state until he uses them at this point in the tribulation. And these demonic angels are specifically time-controlled and success-controlled by God. They'll be permitted to operate for 1 year, 1 month, 1 day, 1 hour. If we do the math on a first century 360-day calendar, these demons would be permitted by God to operate for 391 days plus 1 hour. If we based it on a 365-day calendar, these demons would be permitted by God to operate for 395 days plus 1 hour. So this demonic activity is sovereignly time-regulated by God, and it's right down to the very minute. So you think about that. This is going to be astronomical, what's going to be happening. Third of the world's population, and nearly 8 billion people in the world today in Revelation 6, where when a fourth of the world's population is killed, that would mean 2 billion people would be killed, leaving 6 billion people left. At this judgment, a third of 6 billion will die, which is another 2 billion people. So by this point in the Great Tribulation, over 4 billion people have been killed, which is one half of the world's total population. It's never been a war that has killed 2 billion people in 1 year. Let's put this in a United States context. There are just shy of 330 million people who live in the United States. And by this point in the tribulation, over 165 million people will be killed. So if we were to look at that specifically in states, it would be brutal what is going to happen. And we see, as we continue to move, that the sixth trumpet judgment will feature these four demons controlling this massive military army. Look at verses 16 through 19. He goes on and says, the number of mounted troops was twice 10,000 times 10,000. I heard their number, and this is how I saw the horses in my vision, and those who rode them, they wore breastplates the color of fire and of sapphire and of sulfur, and the heads of the horses were like lions' heads, and fire and smoke and sulfur came out of their mouths. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and smoke and sulfur coming out of their mouths, for the power of the horses is in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents, with heads, and by means of them they wound. So there are many things here that are fascinating about this. We know that the Antichrist is already operating in Europe at this point. He's Satan's man. He also know that this is a demonic army here, so one would think that the Antichrist, who is satanic, and the army that is demonic would all be on the same page. But this will not be the case. The Antichrist will get wind of the fact that something is stirring in the East. He will hear rumors of things going on there, and he will find it disturbing. Daniel 11:44. This news will trouble him. As Noel's saying is very true. There's no honor among thieves. We may take it further here. There's no honor among demons. So as we looked at verse 16, we learned that these demons round up a killing army numbering 200 million. The noun armies is plural, meaning this 200 million numbered army will demonically controlled by four demons. The 200 million numbered army will kill 2 billion people. If you look at a map of the Middle East and you start with Israel, move eastward, you come to Iraq, then Iran, then Afghanistan, then Pakistan, then China, and then India. When you get east of the Euphrates, there's always unrest and stirring among those that are fanatical and emotional, which to this point has pretty much been held in check. So at this point in the tribulation, these demons will draw together a massive 200 million man army to destroy a third of the world's population. When you think of the countries we just mentioned, those numbers are very reachable. In fact, China and Japan could put that size army together right now. So we believe that this is a literal number. Earlier the number was so large it could not be calculated. This number is calculated, so we assume it is a literal number. The Bible is clear that no prophecy of Scripture is of private or one's own interpretation. Prophecy is inspired by the Holy Spirit, so there will be an inspired prophetic symmetry to it. So the main interpretive matter here is whether or not this is an army of literal men or literal demons. Wolverd believed that this is an army of men. In fact, he quotes an article taken from Time magazine on May 21st of 65, in which Red China claimed they could literally field an army of 200 million men. Dr. Alan Johnson believed that this army was a demonic army. He bases his view of the description of the army and of the difficulty he thought of getting this number of military into one area. It could be a combination of both demons and men. There are real literal men used here and real literal demons who are controlling these men at this point. We know that demon worship is something very prominent at the time in the tribulation. Grant Osborne said this is an unbelievably huge and terrifying demonic cavalry. This will be an unstoppable force. And so when we analyze verses 16 and 17, we see there men and horses. They're called horsemen. However, what we may also observe, the great description here is of unusual horses. Horses in the Bible are often used in the context of warfare, but these horses are very unusual. These horses have riders on them. They have colorful breastplates. These horses have heads as vicious as a lion, and they have mouths that unleash fire and brimstone. So these horses have killing power. The riders don't need weapons. The horse is the weapon. And so that is what we see here in these verses. These horses have tails like serpents. And so we move on to verses 20 and 21 as we wrap up the chapter here. And we see the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, nor give up worshiping demons and idols of gold and silver and bronze and stone and wood, which cannot see or hear or walk, nor did they repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. And so these men will not repent of their works, system of thinking. They will not repent of their demon worship. They will not repent of their idolatries. They will not repent of their murders. They won't repent of their sorcery. They won't repent of their immorality, and they won't repent of their thievery. And so as the church age nears its conclusion, we can expect these kind of evil sins will become more and more prevalent. And after the rapture, these sins will dominate the world. And most people will be so calloused and hard-hearted that even when they know these judgments are coming from God, straight out of heaven, they're not going to repent. It's going to be a sad, sad day.